In Siman Lamed Beis in Hilchos Tefillin, the halachas of how to write the tefillin, how to write the parashias. We are in the middle of Sif Yud Ches. Now, the Machaber has been telling us that let's say you've got letters that are puzzle for one reason or another, and there's only a small part of the letter that makes it look puzzle. It would not be sufficient to go and scrape off that little bit of ink because you are creating a letter by way of chakika rather than by way of ksiva. You cannot create a letter by erasing. You have to create a letter by writing. So the Machaber now says, "Im nogu ragle ha-he va-kuf begag." If the left leg of a he, or that extra leg on the left side of the kuf, which are supposed to be suspended and not touching the roof of them, end up touching, so that you write a he, and lo and behold, on the left side, you see that there's a continuous line going all the way up to the roof. Similarly, if you have a kuf and you see that that leg is now no longer suspended, but it touches the roof of the kuf. So the halacha is yigror haregel. You must erase the entire foot of the hay or the kuf. The yachzor v'yichtavenu, and then write it again. It would be insufficient for you to go and simply scrape off that line that's connecting them. You've got to scrape off the entire leg of the hay or the entire leg of the kuf. Vein sarach ligro kolaos, says the Machaber now, you don't have to scrape off the entire letter, ki agag kedin nechtav, because the roof was written bakashris. The top of the hay was written bakashris, and that whole first part of the kuf was written bakashris. Im noga regel ha'alif begag ha'alif, what happens if the foot of the aleph touches the top of the aleph, which means we have the body of the aleph, which is on a diagonal, and it's got a yud on top and a yud on the bottom. So if the bottom yud, which we call the regel, touches the aleph, o pnei ha'alif bifnim begag shetachteho, the same thing if the top touches the bottom of it, the top touches the middle of it, what this would mean is as follows. You have a yud on top and then a reversed yud on the bottom. It means on the top of the aleph you have a yud, and on the bottom you also have on the top of the aleph you have a yud, and on the bottom you have a yud that's connected to it. Now they're supposed to be connected only on one side. The top one is supposed to be connected on its right side. The bottom one is connected on the left side with a line. Now what happens if in addition to the top on the right and the bottom on the left, it's connected a second time? That means you wrote a yud where the body of the yud, not just the right part that has a little leg coming down, but the body of the yud touches the middle of the aleph, or the body of the bottom of it touches the top. The halach is that it is possible. You can't just separate in that second place where they're touching. Because once again, you are creating a letter by erasing. You have to scrape off all that was done bepisul. For the time being, we'll go with the simple pshat in the Mishnah Berurah, which is you have to erase the particular yud that was touching, whether it's the top yud that touched or the bottom yud that touched. And then you write it. Now the Rama says, "Hagav v'chein adin b'yudei hashin v'atzadi v'ayin." If the yudin that make for the top of the shin, an ayin, or a tzadi end up touching in more than one place, not only at their stem but also somewhere in the middle, im nagu b'gufa os yosum imakam divukam. If they touch the letter more than just at that little stem, the halachi is, it is insufficient to go scrape off where they touch. You've got to go and scrape off the entire yud there. Now the Magen Avraham says a chiddush here. The Magen Avraham wants to say that if the top yud was written in a way that it touches the middle of the aleph, then you have to scrape off not only that top yud, but also the middle of the aleph itself, and anything else that was written afterwards, because the Aleph was written when this letter was puzzle. According to the Magen Avraham, anything that was written and when it was written was kosher, you can leave. Anything that was written after you did what puzzled the letter, anything following that point has to be scraped off. The Mishnah Berurah is choshish for that Magen Avraham, even though Lahalachi, it really doesn't hold that way. But therefore, if the bottom yud touches the body of the aleph, you would not have to scrape off either the body or the top yud. If the top yud touches it, then you would have to go and scrape off the entire aleph, because everything else was written when it was pasul. Now, as a rule, from what we learned before, anything that was written bepasul, that was written in a way that was pasul itself, certainly has to be scraped off. The Magen Avraham would add, even anything that was written after it became pasul would also have to be scraped off. So let's go back to some of the cases of the letters. Let's say someone writes a dalid instead of writing a resh. So we said the halakha is he's got to scrape off both parts of the dalid because that entire part was written bipsul. The entire part was written bipsul. What'll be, the Bir Halakha points out, if someone wrote a resh and then realized he made a mistake and thought, oh, you know, this is supposed to be a dalid. So he added the corner. Then he remembers, no, this was wrong. I'm really supposed to make a resh out of that. So there he says, you don't have to go and get rid of the entire, you would not have to get rid of the bottom part of the resh. That means if we're talking about the vertical line of the resh, you would not have to get rid of that. Because that was initially written as a resh. It only became a dalid by adding the corner. What you'd have to do is get rid of the entire top, which is now a dalid, and then round the corner and finish your resh. So the rule would be, that if in two different strokes of the quill, one of them was kosher and one of them was pasul, the halakha would be I have to get rid of the pasul one. I'd have to scrape off that one. Whereas if it was one pen stroke, the halakha would be I have to get rid of that entire one in order to make it kosher. And once again, this is all when we're being machshir letters by scraping. You can always be machshir a letter by adding another part to it. So, for example, you wrote a resh, you can just add to it a corner and make it into a dalid. Similarly, if somebody wanted to write a tuf and forgot to make the little corner on the left side so that it now looks like a ches, the halacha will be if he just adds that left side, that will be sufficient. That'll be enough. In a case where, let's go back to the case of the aleph that touched in more than one place, the top yud of the aleph touches, say, at the stem and in the middle of it. What you could do is thicken the stem all the way to the middle, and then we would say that the yud is only touching in one place, and that'll be sufficient, and you don't have to erase anything. There's one more halacha, the Bir Halacha brings down, that what happens if the left edge of the top yud of the aleph touches the center of the aleph. It's the very left edge. The way we write a yud is that you write a yud and then you add to it a little corner on the left side, on the bottom. What happens if that little corner touches the aleph? He says that that's not really part of the yud itself. That's a separate ukitz, as we call it, a little spike that comes out of it. And it would be enough just to scrape that off. You would not have to scrape off the entire letter. The entire yud would not have to be scraped off. Just scrape off that little piece at the side. So, if the middle of the yud touches the aleph, then you've got a problem, and you either have to get rid of the entire yud and write it again, or fill it in with ink so that the middle and the side are going to be one piece, and then the left side will be protruding. That's one way of fixing it. Whereas if the little corner is what's touching, there you just have to scrape away that little corner, and it would be kosher. Now, going back to the case of the kuf in the hay. There is a daya that if the kuf and the hay are connected by a very fine line, and a child would be able to tell that this is a kuf or a hay. So let's take, for example, the letter hay. When you connect the left leg of the hay to the roof of it, you've got a ches. If a child would look at it and realize this is a very fine line, it does not look the same thickness as the rest of the letter, he would clearly identify this as a hay. There are poskim that say that is kosher. La halacha, what we do is we scrape it off. The Mishnah Brewer says that in the case of a Sefer Torah where you are laning and you do see that, in such a case you would not have to take out another Sefer Torah. We can rely on the fact that a child would read that as a kuf. Now, this is based on a rule that the Mishnah Brewer brings up in the halachas of Kriya Sefer Torah, and it appears here in several different places too. There is an opinion that you are allowed to lane from a Sefer Torah that is pasul. There is such an opinion. We do not rely on that opinion, stam. However, if you have a Sefer Torah that is pasul according to some opinions and kosher according to other opinions, we now call it a sfek sveka. Suffik if it's kosher or pasul, and even if it's pasul, there are those who allow you to lane from a pasul Sefer Torah. Therefore, in a case where they're connected by a little hairline and a child would be able to read it, the Mishnah Berurah paskens that you would not have to take out another Sefer Torah. Now, similarly, and this takes us back to the halacha of Hekev Gevil. Remember we learned that every letter has to be surrounded by parchment, but we had to steer it to that from a case of a hole that develops in a letter, where we say that if the amount of letter that still remains is enough to fulfill the shear and not resemble another letter, it's kosher. So the Beis Yosef gave two terutzim. One terutz was that the halacha of Hekev Gevil doesn't literally mean it has to be surrounded by parchment. What it really means is that two letters shouldn't touch. But the fact that a letter borders on a hole, on air, that would not possible it. His second terutz was, well, it depends on how it was written. If it was written surrounded by parchment and later became puzzle, then it's all right. Later got a hole, then it's kosher. The Beis Yosef is choshish for both of them lechumra. Beis Yosef says that you should not use either one of them, which means the only time it would be kosher is if the two letters are not touching. It's just a matter of a hole and it developed later. There, according to either teretz, it's all right. So that's where we said it was kosher. What happens if you're in the middle of laning on Shabbos and you see the two letters are touching and it looks like this happened later? In other words, you have two fully formed letters and it looks like a drop of ink was pushed from one to the other. Say a little bit of saliva spilled there and then the ink ran from one letter to another. So it clearly happened afterwards. Since according to the second teretz, that is kosher, that would be enough to make it a sfek sfeika. To say, well, according to the second teretz, this is kosher. And according to those who say that you are allowed to lane from Pusel Sefer Torah, so it doesn't make a difference if it's kosher or not. Therefore, he would tell you that you can continue laning from it and would not take out another Sefer Torah. So that in any situation where there is one opinion that says that this is kosher, the halacha is that although you're not to take out such a Sefer Torah l'chatchila, and we would say that you're tefillin or puzzle, you would not put back a Sefer Torah and take out another one over it. Because we would turn this into a Sfek Sveika, Sufik Kosher puzzle, and there's also an opinion that you can lane from a puzzle Sefer Torah. So once again, when you have the foot of a kuf or of a hay that is connected by a hairline, the Mishnah Berurah said that you would not have to take out another Sefer Torah if a child will be able to clearly identify it as a kuf or a hay. Now, the Bir Halacha previously said that this would not be true in the case of a mem. If you write a mem, a regular mem, and then there's a hairline connecting that little space that you've got where between the nun and the vav of the mem, he says that in that case, even though it's small and a child would recognize it as a mem, it would be puzzle, and you'd have to take out another Sefer Torah. The reason being that the tsura of a closed mem is that it's connected. The tsura of an open mem is that it's open. When you close an open mem, even if a child would read it properly, la halacha, this is the tsura of a closed mem. I mean, since halacha says that when it's connected on all sides, we call it a mem sofi, you could not go and tell me that this is an open mem. So this is the exception. The hey and the kuf, we would say. The hey and the kuf, we would say that these are kosher letters if the child can read them, once again, with regard to not taking out another Sefer Torah. With regard to the case of the mem, if they're touching even by a hairline, the halacha would be that would be a puzzle letter and you could not lay from such a Sefer Torah, you would have to take out another one.